This is God's word for me today. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And this week, as I was thinking about what to preach, the Lord laid one of these scriptures on my heart. And so as I sat down with it and I read it, I went ahead and read the whole first part of this chapter, and I thought, wow, that's pretty awesome. So we're gonna start Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Go, says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Lord, this morning I thank you for your word. I thank you that there's power in your word. I thank you, Lord, that there's peace in your word. I thank you that there's deliverance in your word. And God, this morning as we share your word, may your Holy Spirit bring to us all things that you want us to learn and to hear and to know. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally, I'll have 4 or 5 pages of notes. I've got 1.5, so I don't know that what that means. But this morning, we look at this passage, and one of the things as I was reading this morning as a pastor, I read this, and I see that Paul was pouring out his heart to some people that he cared about very much. Paul was pouring his heart out to a group of people that he loved and he cared about, that he had an investment in. Kind of like you guys this morning. I thought of you. I thought of the church that I pastor. I thought of the people that I shepherd. I thought about you guys as I was thinking about this, and I realized that Paul's love for his people drove him to do many, many things. Pushed him to the very limits that he had. But he poured his heart out to these people that he cared very deeply about. And as I was thinking about this scripture, there are a few things that came to my mind. And the first one was renew your resolve. The title of my message is A Time to Renew. Renew your resolve. Verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Renew your resolve. We live in a day and an age where if it feels good, do it. If it doesn't cost you anything, go for it. If you don't have to put yourself out, you know, then that's the thing you want. I'm going to tell you, Christianity is not one of those things. Being a follower of Christ is not one of those things that man, it just makes it, you're just so easy. Everything comes so easy. And man, it's just going to be so fun all the time. But what I see in the scripture here is Paul is telling his congregation, those that he loved, is renew your resolve in the Lord Jesus. Realizing that tomorrow you're not going to be in church. Tomorrow you're going to go to work. Tomorrow you're going to have to do this. And tomorrow you're going to have whatever it is that you got to do tomorrow. Realize that you're going to be with a whole different group of people. And you're going to be with a whole bunch of people that may not love you and care for you as much as your brothers and sisters in the Lord that you're sitting by this morning. And realize that it's going to take resolve to live out your faith tomorrow. You don't believe that? Wait till your alarm goes off. Wait till you see those smiling faces when you walk through the door at work. Wait till you go visit that first customer if you're a customer-based person, or that first co-worker if you got a bunch of co-workers. Wait till you step into that arena tomorrow and you're going to realize you got to have some resolve to maintain your Christian faith. You don't think Paul didn't need resolve? You don't think the early church didn't need resolve? They were constantly being bombarded. They were constantly having to fight the good fight of faith. It takes resolve. And Paul was just, he wasn't mad at him. He wasn't pointing anybody and saying, you fail and you fail. He's just saying, renew your resolve. I'm telling you today, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I want you to renew. And just, what's that mean? That just means, no matter what, God, I'm going to serve you. No matter what, I'm going to keep the faith tomorrow when I go to work or I go to school or I go to the grocery store. God, today I'm going to make a decision to renew my resolve that no matter what comes up, I'm not going to be shaken in my faith. No matter what I face tomorrow, God, that I am going to stand firm in you, because it's not about me, it's about you. And so Paul is looking at those people that he loves so dearly, and he knew that tomorrow the enemy was going to attack them. He knew that the enemy was coming after them, and he just simply said, man, listen, guys, you need to renew that resolve. You need to pump it up a little bit. You need to do a little extra Bible study and a little extra prayer. You need to really get alone with me. Renew that faith that you have in who I am, and that you are going to stand no matter what. It's not easy. It's not a bed of roses to be a Christian. It's the greatest thing you could ever do. It has the best fringe benefits of anything you'll ever do. We were talking about it this morning. One of these days we're going to step in through those pearly gates. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're going to run to the feet of Jesus. We may stay there for who knows how long, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to be in a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, but it's going to take resolve to get there. We've seen a lot of people in the course of the last 11 and a half years that didn't have the resolve to make it. That didn't have the resolve to keep with the faith. That didn't have the resolve that when the hard times came and when things were no longer going peachy keen, they hit the road. It takes resolve. We see pastors every day quit the ministry. They don't have the resolve. We see it happens all over. The statistics are mind-boggling. But what we do also know is that people are getting saved all around the world because there are people that have resolve. That I'm going to preach the gospel no matter what. I'm going to keep the faith no matter what. And simply, I do this morning what the Apostle Paul did to his people is renew your resolve. It's got to be a conscious act. You aren't just going to slide into it. You need to make up your mind, and I need to make up my mind, that tomorrow I am going to serve the living God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a resolve. I renew that today. Just renew that this morning. Another thing that the Apostle Paul deals with here, he's got a couple of those sweet ladies in his congregation that maybe rub each other the wrong way. You've never been in a church like that, right? They had a couple of them sweet old ladies that just simply rubbed each other the wrong way. You know what Apostle Paul does here in this scripture? He doesn't say that they're sinners. He doesn't say they're going to hell. He says he entreats them to agree in the Lord. He didn't tell them to be best friends. Didn't tell one of them to invite the other one over for supper necessarily. He says, agree in the Lord. I title this one, Renew Your Unity. He encourages them to agree in the Lord. Now, we've talked about it many times. we don't have to agree on every issue of how we do this in church and how you know this goes and how that goes and you know the new this and the new that. We don't have to agree that that's what we would do with everything. But what the Lord is looking for is people in the faith that will agree in unity and will work together for the common cause of the faith. And we as a body of believers, whether you're a voting member or you just consider this the church that you love to go to, we need to agree in the unity of the faith of Christ. Again, we're not going to agree on every aspect of it. My associate pastor and I don't agree on every aspect of how we do this or how we do that. We have to come to an agreement. Most of the time. My wife and I, we don't always, just be honest, we don't always agree on every aspect of how I as the pastor, choose to do things in the church. I'll just say that. But we do have to agree to work together for the common cause and the common good. So we work together. We make decisions based on not necessarily whether or not that's how we would do it, but we agree in the Lord. So the Apostle Paul here, he's setting a precedent with the congregation. He says, listen, agree in you to be in unity of the Lord. You still may not like the choice we made for Kids Adventure, although I think it was awesome. You may not have loved the song, although I thought it was the greatest one we've ever done. Aaron says, it was either Aaron or Megan said, man, that was really hard for us. It wasn't our favorite to come up with the act. I'm thinking, oh man, it was awesome. But we agreed in unity that this is what we were doing. And I believe it was an awesome experience for the kids. I believe that people's lives were touched because we agreed in the unity of the faith. And so these two blessed sisters here that were having a little bit of strife, Paul not only encourages them, but he asked the church, can we help these ladies? Help these women. And here's what he says about these women. That's what I love. Who have labored side by side with me together in the gospel. So he says, here we have sister so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and they're not seeing eye to eye right now. And I'm going to encourage them, but I'm also going to encourage the rest of you to encourage them to come in unity. Why? Because they have labored side by side for the gospel. They're workers together for the cause of Christ. Let's work this thing out. We talked a little bit about peacemaking this morning in Sunday school. Let's do a little peacemaking. Let's work this out for the common cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he encourages the rest of the congregation to be a part of that healing process. Instead of taking sides with sister, this sister, or this sister, Let's be a healing process for the unity. There's nothing that makes the devil more afraid than a church that is in unity for the cause of Christ. Not for the color of carpet, but for the cause of Christ. For the cause of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. The third thing I see in this scripture that we need to renew this morning is to renew our worship. The Lord says, or Paul says here in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord when I feel like it. Always. And again, I say rejoice. If Shirley was going to be here this morning, I was going to have her play Count Your Blessings. Shirley's been having a lot of pain. She doesn't even get out of the house. Which is sad. You know, I love the piano. I do. So anybody else here play the piano? We'd love to have you play something for us. But rejoice in the Lord always. As we begin to look at the things around us, too many times we focus on the things that are causing us strife. Excuse me. The things that aren't going the way we want them to go. The problems and the fears that we have. Excuse me. But what the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I would encourage you as people of God to rejoice in Him. Not rejoice that everything's not going your way, but rejoice in who He is. I'm trying to plant little nuggets of of something I really got stirring in my heart. But it's this simple fact, the simple thought, what if Jesus had never calmed the waters? Would He still be God? Rejoice not in the problems that you have, but rejoice in knowing the God whom you serve. Rejoice in knowing that Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sin. Rejoice in the fact that you have a roof over your head and you have food to eat. It may not be the same as what somebody else has, and you might not think it's as nice as what this person has. Rejoice in what you have. Rejoice in the God that you serve. Rejoice because you know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I remember one time when Jesus was walking the earth, He sent His disciples out, and as they went out and they healed the lame, and they opened blind eyes, and they cast out demons, and all those things, and they came back and they were all excited and said, "Jesus, Jesus, man, you should have been with us. You should have seen the things that happened while we were out there, and all this stuff happened." And Jesus says, "Don't rejoice that the demons flee. Rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." If you know Jesus this morning, you have something to rejoice about. If you know Jesus has set you free from sin and has prepared a place for you in paradise, you have something to rejoice about. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. As Paul did, I encourage you, never lose that. Never let the enemy steal that away from you. If you begin to feel that begin to be stolen from you, you need to just stand up and you just need to begin to rejoice. I don't care if you're home alone or you're in the middle of a big crowd. You just need to say, "Lord, I thank You for who You are. I thank You that You saved me and You redeemed me." Renew that worship, that spirit, and that attitude of worship. And I'm not just talking about the 20 minutes or so here in church. I'm talking about the life that you live. Renew that spirit, that attitude of worship, recognizing and realizing who Jesus is and what He has done. And know that without Him, there's no hope of salvation. You have something and I have something to rejoice in, to worship Him for, just because of who He is. Just because of who He is. Next thing I saw in this as I was going through this was that we need to renew our faith. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has already been dealing with us about this morning. Verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We struggle and we battle with peace. Well, I don't know about you, but I've got bills to pay. If there's anybody in here that doesn't have any bills to pay and they would like to, you know, shuffle a little bit of that, got too much cash flow, I can help you out. We have things come up along the way. We have medical expenses. You know, Lynn and Dirk have just, they're going, you know, God. Dirk is here this morning. Thank the Lord he's here. He's still upright taking nourishment. Amen. They're going to have bills to pay. And they're no different than any of the rest of us. We go through things. And if we're not careful, we will let the enemy override. Now, not to say, don't get me wrong, you can't sit back and say, "Well, I ain't going to do nothing about it. God's going to take care of it all." Well, thank God for that kind of faith, but sooner or later you're going to probably have to write a check or send some money. But trusting in the Lord more than worrying about our circumstances. Believing that God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Believing that the God we serve is more than able to help us. Doesn't mean He's going to pay all of our bills. Doesn't mean we're never going to have a sickness. Doesn't mean we're not going to have an untimely death. It doesn't mean that none of this. But what it means is I trust that my God will help me through whatever the circumstance is. My God will help me through that. And He will get the glory. I don't know what Paul and Silas thought for sure when they took that beating and they got thrown into the inner cells of the prison. And they were locked behind locked doors, bleeding badly and hurting severely. But what I do know, according to Scripture, is their faith was in the living God. Their faith was in Jesus Christ because they began to sing and they began to shout. They begin to have revival. Their faith was renewed even in the middle of their circumstance when it didn't look like anything good was going to happen, but they didn't lose faith in God. It didn't look like there was any good outcome, but their faith wasn't in the outcome that they saw. Their faith was in God and let Him do the work. You see, we may be facing a tough obstacle today. You might be right smack dab in the middle of something that you have no way of knowing how you're going to get out of. Renew your faith today in the One who created this whole universe out of nothing. Out of nothing. That takes a lot of faith to believe that, doesn't it? But if you can believe that, and I do, then I can surely believe that whatever I'm facing today, He's going to be there with me and He's going to bring me through. It's all about His character and His nature and His love for us. And if we have faith in that, if we can have faith in the character and the nature of God, we can know that as His children, He only wants what's best for us, right? When your kids are in a tough spot, you want only what's best for them. And you're going to do everything that you can to make sure they get that outcome. But think about God, because there's nothing impossible for Him. I'm a human father and I have limitations. I can only do so much and I can only go so far. But we serve a God who has no such limitations. And so when we come up against that obstacle, when we come up against that roadblock, when we come up against that the odds, the impossible odds, we got to realize that our faith needs to grow and be strengthened because we serve a God who is able. There is nothing too difficult for God. And sometimes we have a hard time believing that, don't we? Let's just be honest. Come on. I want to encourage you to renew your faith this morning in the living God. I'm not going to scold you for lack of it. I'm there, brothers. I want to encourage you to renew in the living God a faith that says God can do anything. God can restore anything. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. My God. How many can say my God? My God is able. Renew your faith in the living God this morning. Renew that vigor that when you get up in the morning and you see the obstacles before you, you see the challenges that lie ahead, you see the people that you're going to have. Oh, God help us. You wake up, instead of saying, oh, this is going to be a terrible day. This is going to be so hard. This is going to, I can't do it today. How many have woke up and said, I just can't do it today? Come on. I want you to wake up in the morning and wake up and I don't care what picture comes to your mind, what obstacle comes to your mind, wake up and say, oh, God, we got this. You're going to help me to do what I need to do today, regardless of who or what or where or how or why. God, I'm not worried about all those things right now. I'm just trusting that You are God. And when I walk out this door, You're blazing the path. And I'm just simply walking in it, God. Hallelujah. Can you have that kind of faith? Can you make that resolve this morning that I'm going to renew my faith in the living God because He will not fail? Finally, finally, the last. And this is the one that I originally started with. When I approached this scripture, this is the scripture that I had in mind. Renew your thoughts. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. This morning, I'm going to encourage you to renew your thoughts. To renew the thoughts as you begin to think about the things of God. You know, as I think about this scripture, many times we use this and we take it in a negative direction, but I simply want you to renew your thoughts on the things that are right. Renew your thoughts on the things that are pure and the things that are holy. Renew your thoughts about how much you love your spouse. Renew your thoughts about how much you love your kids. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. My wife has the only perfect man, and I'm sorry. But what one of the things the Lord laid on my heart, he just liked me, ain't he? One of the things the Lord laid on my heart is that sometimes we have problems with our relationships because all we see is the negative. I'm telling you, in all honesty, I give my wife a lot of reason to think negative about me sometimes. But I thank God that she sees in me some good things too. And what I really felt the Lord encouraging me to encourage you is begin to think of the good things. Begin to think of the things that bring you joy and peace. Begin to think of the things that in that person, instead of seeing all the negative, begin to see something good and begin to encourage them in the good things. Begin to think about all the wonderful things about them, and maybe there's only one or two. But begin to think of that and say, God, help me to focus on the good and not the bad. And then translate that even greater into your life as you begin to think of your Lord and your Savior. Sometimes we get focused on what we don't have. We get focused sometimes on what somebody else has that they don't deserve. And it gets us all out of whack. Think on the things of God. Think about the blessing. Think about the things that God has put in your life. Think about the fact that Jesus Christ gave His life for you and for me, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Think about His love and His mercy. If there be anything good to think about, think on it. You'll be surprised how much happier you'll be if you start thinking about good things versus bad things. When you begin to think, it will amaze you how much closer you'll feel to your spouse. That's serious. If you start thinking about all their good points, stop focusing on the things that aren't so good. If you start looking at your children And again, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you don't correct things, and I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, as you live your life, focus more on the good things about people than the negative things. My wife has reminded me sometimes when we're driving and somebody besides me does something not so good on the road, my wife will say, "You don't know what they're going through." And I think about that. Your first reaction is they don't know what they're doing, or they're this, or they're that, but you don't know what somebody else is going through. Give them a benefit of the doubt. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Get behind somebody going slow, and I'm like, man, what? My wife says, well, maybe they've had an accident, and they drive slow like me. And you think, how that can change your perspective when you begin to get rid of the negative, when you begin to get rid of the things that don't bring honor, that don't bring praise, and you begin to think about the good. And so I will finish this morning, encourage you to renew your thoughts, both in the flesh, in the natural, with those around you, and in the God that we serve. Renew your thought process to begin to think about the good that you and I have. To begin to think about the hope that we have in Jesus. One of these days, we're going to take our last breath. We are. Randy and I talked Wednesday night. I'm ready to go in the rapture. I want the rapture. I don't want death. But one of these days, if Jesus doesn't come back first, I'm going to take my last breath. But what I have is hope in Jesus. If you don't have hope in Jesus this morning, renew your thoughts. Let Him and let what's good and what's righteous, both in your home and in your life, in your spiritual life, be your focus. Bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. Lord, I really believe your Holy Spirit throughout this service is wanting us to understand who you are and how great you are. Your Holy Spirit is wanting us to understand that we can put our faith and our trust in you completely today. Lord, help us to renew our lives, renew our thoughts, renew our faith, renew our resolve, Lord, in you today. Lord, we just need your Holy Spirit to lead us down that path. We can't do it on our own. We can't do any of this without you helping us and leading us and guiding us. So, Lord, we are just asking today that your Holy Spirit would open us up, that we would trust you and we would obey. We would trust you and we would obey. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I don't know what you came in here with and what you came in here for this morning, but I firmly believe that the Lord is here to meet with you. And if you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I really need to renew in one of those areas or more of those areas in my life, some things that have grown cold, some things that aren't where they ought to be, this morning I want to respond by raising my hand and asking you to just pray with me as we close. How many would say, that's me, Pastor? Yes, I see those hands. Thank you for your honesty this morning. And then I just want to ask, if you're here this morning, you're sitting here and you just realize you just need a relationship with Jesus and you don't have one. You want to know that one that we've been talking about. You want to know that one that can bring peace. You want to know that one that can bring forgiveness. You want to know that one that can set your life on a new path. You want to ask Jesus into your life. If that's you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. I want to introduce you to the greatest person you will ever know. Would there be one this morning? Why don't we all stand? In these last few moments, as we say this final prayer, I want you to just get serious with God, and I want you to tell Him what you need renewed in your life. I want you to tell Him and ask Him that when you leave this place today, it will be a process that begins and builds from this moment forward. Lord, this morning, as so many hands were raised and so many people were acknowledging their need to renew something in their life, to renew the things in their life, God, that have grown cold or weak or tired. Lord, maybe it's their faith, maybe it's their resolve, maybe it's their worship, maybe it's their thought life, God, whatever it is this morning. Lord, we are standing and asking that your Holy Spirit would do something in us today that will cause us to leave this place a new person, with new resolve, with a renewing taking place in our lives, Lord. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We ask that your Holy Spirit would constantly, I mean constantly, strive with us, drawing us to that thing, that place, that way, that attitude that we need to have that will bring us to that place that we need to be with you. Lord, may we decrease so you could increase. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they didn't raise their hand, they didn't acknowledge that publicly, but Lord, right now, I pray that you would deal with their hearts and you would show them that they have the opportunity to give their life to you, that they truly can have forgiveness, they truly can become a brand new person. God, reveal yourself to them this morning. Lord, I thank you for that. And I ask God that your Holy Spirit would, as we leave this place, would only build stronger in our lives, would only draw us closer. And tomorrow, Lord, we're gonna jump out of bed and we're gonna have resolve and we're gonna be renewed and we're gonna be ready to face the day with you in the lead. And Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed this morning.